الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Before my family and I had a chance to go abroad, so I used to do on the side some web development work, website work, mostly just for people that I knew to help out if they needed the website, if it was a good cause. And then when I came back, you know, just for other stuff, right, I've kept up a little bit on that. And one thing that I noticed that's very common these days that wasn't, you know, 9-10 years ago is this whole idea of, they call it the Creative Commons license. Basically, somebody makes something and they put it up on the internet for free. Whether it's a template design that you can use, whether it's some sort of app you can download for maybe your phone, or for the computer, or for some program that's commonly used. And so within that, they have certain licensing restrictions, right? So generally, you know, for personal use, it's free. Sometimes for commercial use, it's free. So anybody who's been using a computer for a while or online, they've seen these different things. Sometimes you can download, you know, nice little programs for free. Take the example of Microsoft Office. So they have their Word, PowerPoint, and everybody uses Microsoft Office. So you can go and you can pay your whatever they charge now, $300-$500 to buy the suite. Or you can go to openoffice.org and you can download a whole free program that basically does everything that the average person needs out of the Microsoft Office suite. You can go to Adobe and you can pay, probably they charge $600-$700 for Adobe Acrobat, the thing to actually create the PDFs. Or you can go online and you can do a search for free PDF creator and find, you know, 5, 6, 7 different links. So there's one of these programs that I saw a while ago. It's basically a plugin for Microsoft Word that allows you to insert ayat of the Quran in their, you know, the way they look in the Mus'haf, right? Anybody who's ever typed Arabic knows that you're limited. I mean, mashallah, you can do a lot, but you're limited in some of the different rasm al-khat, like the way that the Quran should be written properly in those programs. So this program allows you to just go up to the menu, you put the cursor where you want, and you say that I want verses, you know, 25 through 35 of Surah Baqarah, and it plops it right in there. If you want with the translation as well. And so this person made this program, and he put it up for free on the internet. You can download it, you can install it, you can use it. Now, if he wanted, he could have easily charged, you know, 99 cents, $1.99, and people would still, right? These days, whoever, you know, doesn't buy something because it costs 99 cents or $1.99. A cup of coffee these days costs, you know, $1.99. He could have, you know, had his money and he could have made a little bit. And I'm sure a lot of people download the program and a lot of people use it. But he decided that, you know what, I'm just going to put it up there for free. So I don't know this person per se. And I don't know what he does. But my guess is that, you know, this is not his livelihood, obviously, because he's not making anything out of it. He probably has a day job that he goes to 9 to 5, right? That he tries to earn his halal income for his family. He's probably married, he probably has kids. His goal is not to create software and start a software company. Otherwise, he could have done that. But with that is a lot of headache. Packaging it, promoting it, copyright, all these different things. So he made this thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an ability. He made it. He put it out there and that's it. Now he's doing whatever he does. Spending time with his family, praying his salah, reading his Quran, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the background, now what's happening for this person? So a few months ago, some of the brothers in Toronto, they had planned this Path to Piety program that they do. They've been doing it, I think, 2 years now. So one of the speakers, either through some miscommunication or he had his schedule changed, he couldn't come. So they had to fill that spot. And then the last minute is hard, and so I had the weekend free, and they said, you know, we'd like it if you could come and you could speak. So I said, okay. You know, so I was a replacement, basically, for somebody else. I didn't really know anything about the program. I mean, I knew some of the other names of the speakers, and they gave me some topics. But I didn't know how big of a program it is, how small of a program it is. Is it in a, you know, hall? Is it in the masjid? Anything about it. So as I was trying to prepare my talks, to make sure that I, you know, have a proper, fill the time that they gave me and have a proper train of thought. So in a lot of places there were ayat of the Quran that I wanted to insert. And so I had that program installed, so very easily, you know, I saved a lot of time by just picking the ayat and it was put in the proper way that it looks in the Mus'haf, right, which also makes it easier to read and makes you less likely to make a mistake when you're reading it. And so I went. So on Friday I had a talk over there, and you know, I was blown away that in the first talk, that was the first talk of the session, there was over 1,500 people. Before that, I had spoken to maybe 40 people, max. You know, just the whole masjid is just filled, and they had tents outside, and there was a separate women's section. And in one of the later talks, which was getting closer to the end of the program, the brothers were saying easily over 2,000, probably close to 2,500 people. You know, this is from the other ulama coming, and people wanting to hear, and people's desire for the deen, and the sincerity of the... So this guy who makes this little plugin, puts it up for free on the internet, now he's getting the ajr for 1,500, 2,000 people hearing something. Maybe he didn't have the ability to go 8 years abroad, 10 years abroad, study, come back, go to Toronto, sit in front of that many people and speak to them. He gets the ajr for that. Because I use those ayat. You know, they were integral to the talk. And it's always, when people hear Quran, it gets them, you know, it stirs them up. Right? It adds to, if you've ever heard a talk that has no Quran in it versus one that has the ayat mentioned here and there, it's vastly different. So this one example, how many people around the world must be taking that program and using it to teach their kids maybe, or for their own learning, because you can get the translation as well, or for their own memorization, just get that one ayah every day that you want to. Or maybe for the woman who couldn't touch the Quran, now she can open it up on her computer screen very easily. You don't need to be online, you know, it's a very light, it's not, you know, heavy on the computer system. So this man, who knows what he's doing, right? But maybe he didn't have that ability to teach somebody Quran. Maybe he didn't have that ability himself to memorize the entire Quran. And he's getting all of the ajr for that going on. That person is also getting the ajr, but he's also getting that ajr. So what is this person? Right? Why can you go to gmail.com and for free get an email address? Hotmail.com, Yahoo, they're all free. Everybody has email address. Everybody's email is free. It's not like the old days when they had AOL and you were paying $30 a month. And why can you go? And you can spend $500 from Microsoft Office or you can get it from openoffice.org. Why are there all of these now, you know, forums where you can ask a question? Someone who doesn't know you, doesn't know anything about you, will take the time to answer your question. These people are all facilitators. They're all facilitators. There was something that they couldn't do, but now they're getting a part of that thing. So again, this person that maybe he couldn't take the time, maybe he is a scholar, I don't know. But it's unlikely that he would have been able to do all of the things that all of the people around the world are doing because of that program that he created and made free for everybody. So he's getting the ajr for that. That person who's memorizing the Quran from that, he's like the Hafiz now. That person who's teaching the Quran like that, he's like the teacher of the Quran. The best of the people are the ones who learn the Quran and they teach it. That person who's using that in their talks, or maybe even in, you know, people write stuff and they publish stuff and they send it out to their friends, every bit of that this person is getting, because he's a facilitator of the deen. And this is what the Sahaba were. They were facilitators for this deen to propagate out to everybody else around them. So they get every bit of ajr. Everybody, anybody who's doing anything good in this deen, it goes back through one of the Sahaba and back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They get all of that ajr that's in there, plus all the people that are in that chain. When that Sahabiya came and she had no more men in her family left to go and fight on the battlefield, and so she had a baby, and she presented the baby to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, you know, all the men in the family have died. There's nobody left to go out, so I want you to take this baby. And so he took the baby, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he looked at it, and he looked at the Sahabiya, and he said that, you know, he's too young, right? He's an infant, he's too young. She said, no, no, you take him. And she said, when the arrows come flying at you, you hold him up and use him as a shield. Because she couldn't go to fight. Right? Whatever she could do, she did. If her sons were there, she prepared them. They went out, they fight, they were shaheed. Her husband, she gave him the, you know, encouragement. But she wanted to be, again, facilitating. She was a facilitator for this action that she herself could not be part of. And this is the way that a person uses what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Not everybody can become a scholar. Not everybody can become a teacher. Not everybody can go out and give talks. But everybody can facilitate somebody who is doing that. Every time you go in the masjid, put $1, $2, put it in the donation box. Everybody who prays in that masjid now, you're getting ajr for that. We all know how empty our prayers are. But what if you put $10 in the masjid, and that pays part of the electricity bill? So that person who came after you, who stood properly praying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with full sincerity, now you get a part of that. You get a part of everybody who comes in that masjid. And this is the way that a person on the Day of Judgment, when he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not just the door of salah can be opened for him to Jannah, not just the door of fasting, of zakah, of sadaqah, all the doors can be opened up before him. A person will stand on the Day of Judgment and they'll see written in their scroll, tahajjud. And he'll say that, I didn't pray tahajjud. He'll think to himself, maybe once I got up, maybe twice I got up. But who knows what he did? Who knows what little bit of money he gave somewhere? Maybe somebody needed help and he helped them and that person started praying tahajjud after that. He gets it in there. It all shows up for him. So it's very, very important that we become facilitators in the deen. Anybody who comes, they need help, you should do your best to help them. They need help raising money. If you don't have money to give, you know, send out an email for them. Call up a friend for them. Imam in the masjid, you know, he's trying to give the daras, but he has something else that he, you know, you offer to do that for him. Let me go pick up that thing that you need. Let me go drop that off. Even a speaker comes in the masjid, you know, maybe there's nothing there for him to drink. Go get a glass of water, put it down before him. Because if he needs that water in that talk, you are now part of the ajr of that talk. And even if he doesn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to turn you away. So things that we never thought would be possible, they become possible when we become facilitators in this deen. And then the ajr, it grows and it grows and it grows. And on the Day of Judgment, we're all going to need that. Because the stuff we're doing, we know is faulty. And this is why the ulama have such a high rank. And the teachers. Because what are they doing? They're preparing other people. So that if their actions weren't good enough, maybe that person's was. And they get a piece of that. Why else do the ulama go out? They could just sit at home and just, you know, do dhikr, read Quran, stand in prayer. They're out in search of ajr. They're trying to find that one person who ends up making something of himself, and that person goes out and he helps 100 other people. And what if you get 10 of those people, each of them helping 100 people? So easily you can see how these numbers grow. So any opportunity that comes, we should never turn it away. And we should never let our nafs come in the way. And this is what happens. Somebody, you know, is in a rush and they send an email to you, hey, send this email out to everybody. They don't say please, they don't say, hey, could you, hey, do you mind? So what do we say? I'm not going to do that. Who does he think he is? Am I his slave? You're losing the chance for ajr. Yes, maybe he should have written it in a better way. Yes, it was khilaf adab, the way that he sent that to you. But maybe he was in a rush, make an excuse for him. The point is, don't lose that possibility for reward out of some silly thing. Look past that, send it out. The easiest thing in the world is to send out an email to somebody. Right? You have 10 friends who might be interested, send it out. You can't go to an event, send it out to somebody else. If that person goes and benefits, you're part of that ajr now. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows all of us to become facilitators of this deen, so that on the Day of Judgment, every single door to Jannah that is thrown wide open for us. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ